Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. Thanks for being in church tonight on a midweek service. Now, many of you are tired. Some long hours in. I do feel like the Word of God will refresh you, and that by the time you'll leave, you'll be glad that you came. Maybe you dragged yourself into church. Hopefully you'll be able to high step out. Isaiah 58. And let's look at verse 8 through 12. Isaiah 58, verse 8 through 12. Talking about fasting, and we've been looking at this this passage of Scripture, Isaiah chapter 58, and I think it's a great passage of Scripture, just talking about the right kind of fasting. And here in the kind of the tail end, or middle of tail end of the chapter, God just shows that there are some rewards that come with seeking Him the right way. There's some rewards that come with fasting the right way. And in verse number 8, it says, "Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. Thy glory of the Lord, the glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." And just looking at this verse right here, kind of as a launch pad tonight, you know, if you're fixing something that's broken, then that means before it got broken, it used to work. Right? If you're repairing a foundation, that means the foundation is there. And the foundation used to be okay. But somehow the foundation got broken down, the needed repairs. Somehow the old paths, the old ways, somebody made a mistake or failed in the past, making it so that you in the present have to fix what they broke. Are you with me? And I want you to look at Psalms 11:3. And we'll turn to a couple passages here. Psalms 11:3. Psalms 11:3. It says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" And you think of, when I think of a righteous man who was in the midst of Israel during a tumultuous time of the foundations being destroyed, I think of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a righteous man. He was a prophet of God. He was telling them what they needed to do. He was trying to help them rebuild what they had torn down. And the foundation that Israel had torn down was the Word of God. The foundation and the paths, the old ways that Israel had torn down during Jeremiah's day was the Word of God. And let's look at that. Look at Jeremiah chapter 36. And this passage of Scripture here is talking about King Jehoiakim. I had mentioned him just a few Sundays ago, and I am going to get back to the Star of Bethlehem. I'm waiting so that I can present it so that you can see it, you know, technologically, too. And so I just don't want to jump into. We are going to come back to the Star of Bethlehem. I haven't forgotten about that. But Jeremiah chapter 36, Jehoiakim, God put a curse on him. And part of the curse on Jehoiakim was that no one from him, his body, would sit on the throne of Israel. And Joseph, who they thought was Jesus' father, was a descendant of Jehoiakim. And Joseph was not the king of Israel at that time. He was a carpenter. He was the rightful king of Israel, and he was a carpenter. He wasn't the king. Because of the curse that God placed on Jehoiakim, and let's look at chapter 36, one of the reasons why God placed that curse on him. Verse 1, it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. So basically, Jeremiah is writing down the book of Jeremiah to take to the king. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore, go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth, the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. So they're proclaiming a fast here. Again, back in Isaiah, God asked the question, is it a fast like I want you to do, though? You know, just because you don't eat on the inside and keep food from your stomach does not mean you're going to find favor with God if you don't fast from sin on the inside and keep sin from your heart. You can't fast and be living in sin and expect God to bless you just because you didn't eat something. Are you with me? And it came to pass, okay, so verse 10, then read Baruch in the book, the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house in the ears of all the people. When Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber. And though all the princes sat there, even Elishama the scribe, and Deliah the son of Shemaiah, and Elnathan the son of Achbor, and Gemariah the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore all the princes sent Jehudi the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushai, unto Baruch, saying, take in thine hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch the son of Neriah took the roll in his hand and came unto them. And they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. Now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, they were afraid both one and other, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king of all these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then said the princes unto Baruch, go, hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. And they went in to the king and to the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. So what's he doing to the Word of God? He's cutting it up and burning it. What is the foundation of Israel? The Word of God. What's he doing to the foundations? Destroying them. And notice the reaction, verse 24, yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Delaiah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. But the king commanded Jeremiel, the son of Hemalech, and Sariah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdeel, to take Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet. But the Lord hid them. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll. Let me just say, you can't destroy God's word. It's forever settled. You might try and burn it, but it's going to come back. Take thee again another roll and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, had burned. And look, when you sit down to read Jeremiah, you get to read what was written on those rolls. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein? Saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity. And I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them. But they hearken not. Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many like words. Why wasn't Joseph sitting on the throne as the king of Judah? Because what his great-great-great-great-grandfather did to the foundations. And if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Nehemiah finds himself in this predicament. Look back at Nehemiah, Ezra, Nehemiah. He's there as part of those who had been taken captive. He's grown up now. If you remember, 70 years is when how long they were going to be captive there in Babylon for 70 years. And Ezra, former king, sent Ezra back and let him build the temple. Was it Cyrus? King Cyrus that did the building of the temple with Ezra? So Ezra's back in Jerusalem, and the foundations of Jerusalem, the walls of Jerusalem, have been burned with fire. They've been destroyed. The gates are burned with fire. The city itself, the foundation had been destroyed because the spiritual foundation had been destroyed. That's why the city ended up that way. And Nehemiah chapter 1, the words of Nehemiah the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislu in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, it's one of his brothers, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and what? fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. Now here's Nehemiah. Let me just say, he is the king's cupbearer. He has a very important job. He has the job of making sure the king doesn't get poisoned. Okay? So the cupbearer, he pours the whatever drink the king wants, and then he sips it to make sure it's not poisoned. And guess what? If it's poisoned, what happens to the cupbearer? By Nehemiah. Cupbearer number two, you're up, okay? And so it was somewhat of a dangerous job. As the king, you want whoever is the cupbearer to like you. Right? As the king, you don't put someone as your cupbearer that you don't trust. So what's amazing is that the king doesn't have a Babylonian as his cupbearer, or a Persian as his cupbearer, or a Chaldean as his cupbearer. He has a Jew. A Jew as his cupbearer. A Jew who is a slave, who's a captive, who they captured from another country he trusts with his life. Now, that's great testimony. I mean, Daniel, the other kings eventually trusted Daniel with their life because of God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego became, you know, princes, and they trusted them. And the reason why they trusted these men is because these men had good spiritual foundation. These men lived their lives based on the foundation of the Word of God, and God blessed them. And these kings saw and knew what God these men worshipped, and they realized they were trustworthy because of the God that they worshipped. So it wasn't just that these men were special, it's that their God was special. And so here Nehemiah is lifted up to being the king's cupbearer. He gets to eat everything, taste everything before the king gets it, to protect the king's life. So again, if you want that person to like you, you're going to pay him well. Right? You want to keep your cupbearer happy. If the cupbearer is happy, he's not going to want to get a new king. Right? And we see later on, Nehemiah is called the Tirshatha, or the governor, there in Jerusalem, and how much gold he gives and how many priest garments he gives for the service of the Lord. Where did he get all that money? From being the king's cupbearer and the blessings of the Lord upon his life. So here's Nehemiah, he's praying and he's fasting because the foundations have been broken down because of his forefathers. In verse 5, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. Nehemiah is there, and he's confessing the sin of his forefathers that broke down the foundations. God, we've broken down the foundation spiritually, and we turned our back on you, and you've judged us. Have mercy, O God. He's praying and fasting. He's confessing his sins and the sins of his fathers. You know, let me just say, when you start to pray and to fast and ask God to build the foundations, he might just use you to do it. And that's awesome. Anyone that would say, I don't want God to use me to rebuild the foundations, are not thinking spiritually, are not solid, do not have a solid spiritual foundation, because what an honor to be used by God to do anything. What an honor to be part of God's work. What an honor to have your prayer answered and God answer your prayer with you. That's awesome. And again, I think that's one reason why when we look at the fields are ripe, ready unto harvest, and you pray and ask God to send people there, and then when he answers your prayer by sending you. Christians that don't want to pray for the Lord to send laborers into the harvest because they might be sent are very self-centered, selfish Christians. Lazy, complacent, comfortable, armchair Christians. We need to make sure we shake ourselves And don't fall into, Lord, please answer my prayer, but use someone else. No, our prayer should be, Lord, please answer my prayer and use whoever you want to use to answer it, even if it's me. It's not always you. It's not always you that God uses, but be willing for God to pick you. Let's not pray because God might use us to be the answer. Amen? And Nehemiah prays, and God hears his prayer. And then he continues on to verse 7. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept what? The commandments, verse 7, Nehemiah 1:7. Nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. You know what he's saying? We broke down the foundations. We broke down the foundations. And over in Isaiah 58, we saw that when you pray and fast the right way, God will use you and your seed to rebuild the broken foundations and restore the old broken down paths. And Nehemiah prays and fasts the right way, and guess what? God uses him and his seed to restore Jerusalem. Not just physically, but spiritually. And in the end of Nehemiah, you look at it, and they clean house spiritually too. They didn't just clean Jerusalem physically. Let me just say, you want to have your house built up. You want to have your physical house. You want to have your physical family whole, working correctly, and not broken down. And if that's going to be the case, then you need to strengthen first and foremost the foundations in your life spiritually. You got to look to the foundation in your life spiritually. You have to take your Bible reading seriously. You have to take prayer seriously and personal. And when you take that praying and you take that Bible reading, let me say this next year, when you take that fasting seriously and you do it the right way, God builds your family and makes them whole and unified too. You know, I'm encouraged by the Davis clan right here. Their kids and their mother are a unified family. I don't know that I ever have. I'm sure maybe they have. But I don't know that I've ever seen Miss Tiffany's daughters badmouth her. Or talk back to her. I don't think I've ever seen Mark do that. Do you know what that is evidence of? A strong spiritual foundation. That just doesn't happen. Are you with me? I'm not trying to lift you up or toot your own horn. I'm just saying. As an example right there. I want my home to be built and to be whole and not to be broken with the family that's in that home right now. Kaylin and Miss Kelly, unified. That just doesn't just happen. Let me just say, there are plenty of times, I'm sure, when there's disunity and a little squawking and fighting. And I think if we look back in our homes, we look at that dysfunctionality that happens and the disunity, I think if we'll stop and say, okay, how was my Bible reading during that period of time? Hey, how was my prayer during that period of time? I think with that you can look to the key. Look, I look at my own life, I look at my own family, and when things start to fall apart, and when everyone starts to butt heads, and the kids start to get a little bit rebellious, and mom and dad aren't on the same page, I stop and I say, okay, time out. All right, how's my Bible reading? Yes. Well, duh. Well, no wonder everything's going haywire. You say, you're the pastor. Yeah. I get busy sometimes, and so busy that I get too busy. You ever done that? I've been busy serving the Lord many times. I've been so busy sometimes serving the Lord that I forget to walk with him. And you know, even though I'm serving the Lord and doing all these things and these nice things, not walking with the Lord, then I'm serving the Lord on my own strength, on my own, and in the flesh, and eventually you run out of steam, and then your flesh gets cranky, and you take the crankiness out on others, and then you're like, man, I'm serving the Lord. What's going on? Everything's turning. Well, are you walking with them? Oh, right. It's not just serving the Lord, it's walking with him. Amen. Look, let's continue to have unified homes. I see unified homes in this church. I see unified homes. I see the family that's together in your home. I see unification there. And let me just say, it's not an accident. Think if you'll stop and look and say, why are we jiving as a family? Look at your Bible reading. Look at your walk with God. That's the foundation, the spiritual foundation that is making your physical foundation work. Can I get an amen? And look, if you got some disunity in the home, then up your Bible reading. Up it. Up your prayer time. And let me say, going into 2022, learn how to fast. You know, 2022, let me just say 2022, I really believe the Lord's going to bless us. I really think we're going to see some wonderful things. And when we go to the fasting, like not even once a month, there's some off months, but like once a month, I'm encouraging and challenging, individuals to fast lunch during Sunday lunch and pray during that time instead. And then after Sunday night church, we're going to have a big meal downstairs and all eat together. Like an encouraging time. Because I'm just trying to teach you and help you to begin to learn how to fast. Does that make sense? You got to start somewhere. And it's okay to fast as a group. Yes, you're not supposed to let other people know that you're fasting if you by yourself are fasting for something that no one else knows about. But there are times when a whole city proclaimed a fast. You look at Nineveh, they proclaimed, a king proclaimed a fast for everybody. I mean, men, women, children, and animals didn't get to eat. And the animals were making a lot of noise. And everyone else was too. They were uncomfortable. And God spared Nineveh because they humbled their hearts, not just didn't eat food. So look, when we proclaim a fast as a church that afternoon, it's okay to let other people know, let the pastor know, yes, I did choose to fast today. Because you're not doing it for you. You're doing it for the right reason. But it's so that we as a church can come together. We're two or three to gather together, my name, there am I in the midst, and two or three covenanting together and say, God, help us with this. Are you with me? Looking forward to it. We're going to continue in Nehemiah, I think, next Wednesday as well, just kind of looking at this in the foundation, God building the foundation using Nehemiah. We're also going to look at the rest of the people that were in the city God used too. And they weren't the ones that necessarily prayed and fasted like Nehemiah did, but they get to be a recipient of the benefits. And they did end up praying and fasting too when they caught the vision and the burden. Let me just say, sometimes you have to be the one with the burden and the vision, and after you catch it, you can encourage someone else to catch it. It's hard to help someone else catch a vision that you don't have. Are you with me? It's hard to say, and I'm landing the plane here, and we're going to go to our prayer time. But if the pastor isn't passionate about soul winning, it's hard for the church members to get passionate about soul winning. If the pastor's not passionate about the Word of God, it's hard for the church members to get passionate about the Word of God. Look, if the Sunday school teachers aren't passionate about prayer, it's hard for the Sunday school class to be passionate about prayer. If the leadership is not passionate about missions, it's hard for the rest of everyone else to get passionate about missions. So let me just say, more is caught than is taught. And parents, we're going to be leading by example going into 2022. Of how much we want God in our life. And when your children see a humble mother and a humble father willing to go without food to get God's power, then they're going to say, you know what? I think maybe mom and dad really do believe in God and have faith in him. And maybe it is worth living for God since they are. Amen? So let's rebuild the foundations. Let's ask God to rebuild the foundations in our life, in our home, in our family life, and in our church through spiritual prayer and fasting. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to draw close to you. You said if we will draw nigh to you, you'll draw nigh to us. We'll cleanse our hands. He said, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Lord, help us to be of one mind. Help us to, for our eyes to be single and there to be light springing forth by our yieldedness and walking with you. Please bless us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.